Ooh, and summarize,
That's
right?
fancy.
There's AI summarize.
That AI that summarizes it.
Tara, we get a Tara. We get a Tara. Tara summarizes. We get more personal touch. Oh, this says AI would summarize.
Oh,
And
and
it's like we get a personal Tara
oh, I'm so
summarization.
good at AI.
Okay, I'm sure that Vicky's sitting someplace in 205 in a traffic jam.
There for Vicky.
She's coming up.
She might find him, or I'll catch her on our way out. Okay,
So
John.
let's go ahead and start the. I'm John Lindman. I'm one of the co-chairs, and I live in Hidden Springs 6. I've been on the Parks Board for a longer time than I can remember.
Chris Owens, been on the Parks and Rec Board for 4 years, and I live in Robinbush.
Tara Staff. Diana Lavery, and I've been on the Park and Recreation Advisory Board for 2 years. I live in Cascade Center.
Todd Olson, been on the Parks and Rec Board. This is my second go around, so
5 years,
I think.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. And I am out of the Barrington Heights neighborhood.
And Megan Big Jones Staff.
Kevin Bonington, City Council.
Cool. Okay, let's look at
Karen.
The.
And Karen.
All right, Karen. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Karen Kellogg, Robinwood neighborhood. I think a year. Wow.
They are pretty well distributed throughout the. Interesting.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Tonight's agenda. I think everybody's got a copy of that.
Is it approved? Motion.
Second.
Yep. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Summary notes.
We're going to send those out after the meeting. Or do you have them here?
They came today.
Oh, okay. Did you guys get them?
Yeah.
Okay.
In your email, invite them.
Yeah, they looked okay to me.
And if you need to approve it next meeting, it's okay to do too. If others need to look at it.
Did you see them or not?
I did not. So I'm not. I won't stand.
You see them?
Good. Yeah.
Karen, did you see them?
Yes, I did. Thank you. Yeah, all good.
Okay. Fine. Somebody have a second? Second it.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Okay, cool. Okay, no community folks. All right.
Okay.
So Kevin, you want to go first since you got someplace else to be?
Upstairs. I need them to finally get around to changing that.
It'd be nice. Fine.
Next time we'll put it on the agenda. I went through our last four council meeting agendas, and I guess the only thing I can think of worth addressing is if anyone heard about the wildlife feeding kerfuffle.
Good.
That's what I was hoping. There was a rumor going around that we were looking at banning feeding wildlife entirely, all kinds, no matter what. The real situation is that there are 3 or so nuisance properties at any given time that are not just like leaving their garbage cans open. It's not that. It's like industrial scale feeding of wildlife causing a public health nuisance, among other things.
Wow.
So we need to add a sentence to existing code to make an enforceable ordinance there, because we can't actually do anything
until you do that.
Issues. Yeah, so a rumor definitely got leaked that we were banning all of them entirely, which makes a lot of sense. But no, yeah. That's not happening if you hear that. So I thought that would be worth taking care of. And then I guess, did anyone have any questions about anything coming up? I'm sort of kind of wrapping up things for the year and going to get started on the council goal setting retreats the first week, I believe.
What neighborhood was that going on in with the skunk feeding?
There are 3. I know one's in Willamette and one is, what would that be?
Oh.
No traffic at all coming from Salem, is there? So we have started.
Yes, did you get my?
Yes,
email?
We know you were coming. So, and Kevin's going because he's got to go upstairs for some stuff.
Yeah, that's really the only thing I can think of.
So we'll be number 3 on the
Okay. So what were the other neighborhoods though? Willamette and?
Willamette and Cascade Summit, I guess I would. Yeah.
So just two neighborhoods.
I don't know where the third one is. Oh. I didn't ask.
Okay. There. So the line, I'm just curious. So the line is just
the neighborhoods. Like,
what we're talking about, like thousands of crows, families of skunks living under people's decks, raccoons, rat infestation, basically every type of animal that's native to this area is all congregating in huge numbers at these places. They just don't belong here like that. It's not a safe situation.
I would think the homeowners board would deal with that too.
Well, not all of the city is under an HOA, so.
No, you're right, yeah.
I had a neighbor used to feed deer.
And that's okay, that would be okay.
Not in my yard, but. But once I told them that they were eating my flowers, my roses, they went, oh, okay, we'll quit doing
it. Well, I think the key to it too is the word nuisance, right?
Yeah.
So that's the where it that's what the ordinance is essentially trying to address. Mm-hmm. Nuisance, not
draw the line.
Yeah, because deer are not particularly harmful unless you have flowers, but I mean, or gardens or stuff that you can't. But then it's not the same thing as raccoons and rats. And,
skunks.
Well, skunks has got to really be terrible.
It was pretty.
You know, you wouldn't want to walk out in your backyard.
No, it's worse than that. I guess they can't take their pets out. They get skunked immediately every single night.
Yeah, and then when a pet gets skunked, it's a lot to clean up. I hear. I don't know.
Yeah.
When I went to go visit one of these houses, but before I even turned on the road, there was a dead skunk laying in the middle of it. And this is a very packed neighborhood. Like, doesn't belong there. So, that's what we're trying to address with that.
Yeah.
Not criminalizing your bird feeders.
Yeah, good.
Okay, so Vicki, we're at number three now. Best practice sharing with conference.
So I can keep this really short, and I just wanted to more so to share the content, and you know how I always, this is always fun for me to figure out how to do. And
Vicki will do it for you.
I know, I need her to do it. Right? How do I make that larger? Karen, can you see that?
Yes, I can.
We can't.
Oh, wow.
And not that. Sorry. This is what Tara's like, don't do this to me. And then I'm like, but I need to figure out how to do it. Oh, it's you know what it is? It's over there with the top. No. See that it's very top tab. It says crab update PDF. There we go.
Oh, I
didn't know. No, that would you do a PDF? It's a PowerPoint.
Oh, okay.
But how do I get back to it?
Yeah,
back to slides. Hold on. Let me go back.
I'm dead.
Yeah, you probably. Oh, this is PDF. Yep, so we'll do this one.
I'm in both of them.
There you go. No, this is fine. Karen, does that look okay to you?
Yeah, I can see it.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Oh, but I move my cursor anywhere and it goes elsewhere. That's fun. Oh, it just.
Oh, now it went away.
All right. Well, we may not be able to do this very easily.
Probably can.
Oh, see.
I can still follow along. It's cool.
Okay. Well, let's make a new PowerPoint presentation. That'll be fun.
I'm sorry. I wasn't focused on it. So,
no worries.
What are we trying to do here?
So, sorry, it was pulled up there, but it disappeared from the drive. So, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to talk you through a few things. Okay. How does that sound? All right. I'm going to stop sharing. And stop sharing. How do we stop? Karen, are you there still? I just don't want to lose you.
No, I can still hear you all. And now I can actually see it again.
I'm on the bottom.
Perfect. Here we are. Okay. Well, I had some fun and dazzling things, but this will make it go quicker after we spent 5 minutes trying to get the PowerPoint to come up. Do you see how that just disappeared? It's like it such a frustration weird. With our thing, with our program.
It's weird that it would go, all you're doing is moving.
Mouse.
Hitting the mouse. It shouldn't go anywhere.
So what I wanted to give you an update is we are our full organization as far as Parks and Recreation is part of Oregon Parks and Recreation Association. And the part that there's three legs to that of what that organization does. It creates professional organization for our members to be able to go to for training. So their main focus is education, networking with our other agencies, and then advocacy. We actually have a legislator in there who helps manage some of our concerns and worries that they come to light. And so the mission and value, the mission for it is to support parks and recreation in Oregon through leadership, education, advocacy, and member services. ORPA is made up of 77 agencies throughout Oregon. There's over 2,300 members, so you know, from all walks of life, as far as our, from designers to directors to park staff to aquatics, any person in parks and recreation, there's an area for you. This year, there was 13 workshops that were offered, and there was over 23 or 32 section meetings. There's seven interest groups within it. Is that there's administration, aquatics, county and outdoor rec, maintenance and construction, natural resources, planning and design, older adult resource programming, and recreational programming and sport. In addition, there's a diversity and equity inclusion committee, the legislative committee, which I'm the liaison for, and the leadership academy. So I wanted you guys to kind of know that this organization, I'm on the board of directors, I'll be the incoming president next year. It is really a great way for our staff to get this professional connection, not only with their own growth, with the camaraderie and meeting and talking with other agencies. So we're not always reinventing the wheel. For example, for Mediterranean Oak Borer, there's already a large group of agencies that are connecting together, and we're going to be taking that hopefully to the legislative committee to be able to figure out how to get understanding up above what might be happening to our forest as time goes on, especially financially, not only environmentally. So when we go to this conference that we just went to, it is literally like our biggest celebration to get to be around a whole bunch of, there was over 500 members that attended, and we're there for 3 days, and there's workshops that are put on by the members. So Jen Barbeau, who's our park superintendent or supervisor, she was on a panel of talking about women in parks and recreation. And I've presented, I know we've had other staff present, but it's really neat because you get to see information presented from other agencies that you go and you glean information from it, and you also make that connection. So over the course of 3 days, we've had information from like comparing gas power blowers to electric, leadership skills as far as how to work with your parks and boards, your boards and commissions. There's activities that we get out to go and do, aquatic sessions. I mean, it's been really fun. And a couple of things that we had learned was, there's a city of Wilsonville is using city data to collect data of use in their parks through cell phone use, which is all already out there as far as the cell phone comes in, that data is collected legally without a lot of information. But we are actually going to be using that starting with five parks so we can start to look at who's coming into our parks and how often and where are the hotspots. So for example, we have Maria Shang right now or Willamette. Those are known as city parks, but really we believe them to be regional parks. So you can actually look by the date and the time when we have an event. So when we have the fair, we can look to see how many people are actually coming in there with cell phone use and be able to have that gleaned and vetted to understand for sponsorship, for maintenance, splash pad use, certain times of the day, certain areas that are really used in the park and other areas that are not, so we can adjust maybe our mode schedule. It's really exciting data to be able to have. So if you're thinking from grant opportunities to sponsorship to just day-to-day use, it's going to be great. And so we're starting with five parks to start just because that's where our budget sits. We could do all, but that's our main ones are the waterfront properties that we're looking at in Tanner Creek. And then also Tanner Creek and Hammerly is what we're looking at too. So when we have music in the park, we'll be able to see about how many visitors we have coming and if they're coming from outside the city as well by their county. So it will really help with some opportunities for us for gleaning information to be able to share with who is using our park. So that's pretty exciting. That's just like one example of some information we learned. Tara, did you have anything?
No. We just kind of learned some different ways for trails. Yeah, that was one big thing, kind of how often people, walk their trails and kind of the maintenance piece on that. It was a lot of networking, field stuff. I mean, just a lot of great information from surrounding areas, so we can have a lot of contact.
A lot of natural resources mitigation is how people are working on some larger projects. Portland presented on their tree canopy project, which is much bigger than what we're capable of doing. But as a smaller city, you can still listen to what they're presenting. And then you can take those pieces or you have that contact. And it's just really literally leave conference on a high because you've just been through summer and you just meet all of these people and you're seeing this huge camaraderie. And that when you kind of get down about sometimes where you get complaint driven at times, you feel that you're not alone. And so there's just troubleshooting all the time. Also, each of the sections meet. So for the example, the maintenance and construction section, I was on the board of that previously. We meet and have a section meeting and celebrate kind of what we're doing and look for the next year. So I really appreciate you taking time to want to just hear about it. Mm-hmm. I think it's important that you guys know that we're part of this professional organization, and it's really been influential in my own knowledge and moving to through my career. And it's nice that our whole city already before was really involved with it. So, and what I'll be able to bring to you guys in the future is being the liaison for the legislative committee, as I'll help be more up to date on some things like recreational immunity or housing or helplessness or any of those bills that are coming through. So I get to learn what a long and short session is coming up for you. So yeah, so I didn't want to take up too much time, but wanted to share. So thank you for that time, because it's a really important organization to us. Happy holidays, Kevin.
Bye, Kevin.
Conference every year.
It is every year. Yeah, so we were in Sun River, and this next year we will be in Eugene, and then potentially Seaside, and then back to Portland, and then back to this. So we're going to rotate around. Cool. Yeah, and yeah.
It's pretty good attendance from the entire state.
It is. That's our goal. It is very much so. And creating workshops for, you know, large agencies, small agencies, doing some online, virtual, and a lot in person as well. So yeah, it's quite. We've actually hosted workshops here down at Willamette Park to talk about dock maintenance and safety. Jen put that on. She used to be on the maintenance and construction section as well. And then Alyssa, who does our events, just presented at the recreation. I was getting Sprint. It's called Sprint. It sounds like a boat to me. But the essentially recreation programming about using AI for some of the promotional pieces. And she did that in front of that whole section and got really big kudos. So it's really nice for staff development and just also just gleaning information. Yeah.
Well, I think it really feeds your value of bringing best practice to us, Lynn, and you know, keeping on the edge and leveraging resources that are out there. 100%. This ends up saving the city a lot of money.
It does. I mean, yeah. It's at our board retreat. One of our goals is to be able to create a resource library so that we're like, if we have a form that we don't have, we call other agencies to see what they have embedded through with their attorneys first before we start from ground zero. So there is that.
Awesome. Is there anything you need to add to that, Sarah?
What was a cool?
Yeah, you went, didn't you?
Yeah.
What was the coolest thing you saw?
What conference was my favorite?
Yeah, just was like, hey, what this would be so cool to bring in the city.
That being my favorite. I mean, yeah. Just to know how many people are attending and where they're coming from. Like, they're not all local.
Yeah.
You know, like even the fair. You know. That'll be one of our tournaments, you know, people are using our fields and our facilities and stuff. So I think that's really, really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. Anything else on that?
I know. We'll just keep bringing you a little bit more as we go through.
Okay. And awesome.
Thank you.
So we actually got a huge head start on the Parks and Rec Advisory Board report at our last meeting. I had taken notes, and I don't know if you had a chance to take a look at that.
Do they have coffees?
They do.
They have coffees.
They do.
Do they have coffees?
I brought mine. With this, we have, you know, some of the things I could pull right out of our plan. What is our team, what were our meeting dates, the event date. I think there are a couple of maybe corrections in the event dates. I did change it to Fall Festival instead of Boo. But the actual report primarily starts on the 2024 accomplishments. I prefaced it with, based on feedback from City Council liaison, visitors, our observations, this captures a year in review, because at our last meeting,
Kevin had a lot to offer. And I think, you know, everybody spoke their own observations and maybe some feedback they'd heard from others. So first off, do you feel like this accurately captured our discussion?
Yeah.
Yeah?
No, great job in doing this. I went through it the other night and just a couple little edits. I did have one question, though.
Yeah.
On 2024 accomplishment down on the fourth bullet there, we reflect the culture we are trying to achieve in the West Plains community.
That was from Kevin.
That, yeah, it just seemed a little, to me, my interpretation of that one was
odd.
We reflect the culture we are trying to achieve. So it almost read like, we know what everybody follow us, right?
Yeah,
and I didn't think that was the intent.
That was one that I was going to suggest that we strike.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that.
That's fine.
A little confusing.
Coming from Kevin. And so I honored it because I didn't want to edit too much, but it doesn't make a lot of sense coming from us.
No, I think you're right.
Yeah. Okay. That was the only one where I come in.
Oh, okay.
The rest of it, it's just maybe a couple little edits.
Okay. Gotcha. Chris?
I thought, you know, down number three, just stolen accomplishments, you know, they're engaged in the process. I think maybe something to bullet about there that are perhaps input was sought by the city and valued. At least I felt like we were actually the consultants in particular really wanted to hear what we had to say about it, and that was encouraging as far as, you know, just helping to make an effort, I guess.
That's good. I'm not going to read this to you. You got it in advance. So I thought I did break it into, you know, we kind of talked about our healthy community culture, our process. Community Recreation Center was a standalone in our discussion. Megan was a major standalone in our discussion.
My face turned red when I watched it.
Thank you very, very much for your kind support. That was wow. Thank you.
Did you show it to your family?
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Hey, they like mom.
Your mom did good work.
I think it was wonderful. Is there anything that we missed on accomplishments? And staff, you weren't part of the discussion, of course. So is there anything you would add to this list on accomplishments from your perspective? Okay.
I feel like that looks really good.
Okay, good. So then it goes into challenges. And I actually thought the group had some good suggestions on this.
Oh, you're nice for number three. I didn't see that the first time around.
You know, I had a note on that one. It's just if we could add some specifics to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're concerned about she isn't getting enough sleep. No, it's some kind of a specific there. I think it would help.
Yeah. I mean, at one time there was a parks director and assistant director, as you, I'm sure, are aware.
Yeah, and I'm working on doing that evaluation with staff, and I have been very cautious about running ahead with the position that we have available within the arborist to make sure you get one chance for a period of time to get it right. And so I'm kind of weighing that. So the goal is to be able to get, whether it's a project analyst, through that, not to lose our arborist function by any means, but maybe to have to restructure it. But I'm also at the same time looking at, we have no admin staff in our department, which is one of the only ones that doesn't have that. So I'm having the staff kind of evaluate what they do and what could they pass off to an admin as far as them not having Tara or myself or others. We can really hone that to somebody specifically So that's kind of what I'm doing, the same thing with the park staff. And just the goal is to avoid that burnout and to have that ultimate satisfaction that you're getting what you need to get done. We're always going to be busy. We're always going to have too much to do, but trying to get that balance much better. Because we have a happy staff, we'll have happy community too, right? And so that's what I'm really working on. It's just going a little bit slower than I had anticipated. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is what I wrote under number 3. PREP's concerned with the scope and responsibilities and projects of our director. The demand for ongoing operations is high for a single director. PREP recognizes that the additional demand of creating structure to parks and rec processes and addressing past problems. Makes this job unsustainable.
Well, and that's just even for the whole staff. I think of us all as one unit, right? So whether the help is, even if I get help, the help is for the whole department. That's what I'm really valuing. It's not just for what I need. It's what do we need and what holes are we missing in our knowledge or expertise to get that right fit. I've been really appreciative of the staff being really open with that, working through that and taking time to evaluate what we're needing. You know,
so I changed to the demand for ongoing operations is high for a single director and the limited staff. PREP recognizes that the additional demand of creating structure to parks and rec processes and addressing past problems makes the staff structure unsustainable. Is that fair?
You're exactly right.
Well, and then I think what I'm doing too is we'll be evaluating what our overall offerings are, and if it's not sustainable, what are we not going to do if there's not any additional funding? So it's like really comes from a practicality. That was like with the rec center. I could have said, oh yeah, we'll take our whole staff and we can reduce that cost. No, that's not sustainable. So that's what you're going to get from me, is what can we really do, and this is what we are doing. And if we can't do it all, then we will say, in general, what should we not be doing because we can't do it all?
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, so interestingly, that your first year was the rec community, right, push.
Yeah.
So I'm just interested, of this past year, how much time of yours was focused on that versus what you would have walked into a new job? Obviously, you would have been learning and doing exactly what you're doing, but that community center stuff, rightfully so, took some of your time. I'm just interested.
Yeah.
Was that like 30%? So like now that's not going to happen this year, you know, have 30% to help you? I'm just trying to.
Yeah.
It seems an anomaly year.
In a way. So the things that I had on my plate when I came in, and from our department in general, not just me, right, because it took everybody's time, was the community rec center, bond projects to finish, capital improvement projects to finish, overall basic structure of the park side and of the rec side. And so that's kind of, once those get streamed out, the staff piece, that'll even itself out over time. But what I did not do any of was any of our capital projects or any of our bond projects. And I have to move to that. But what's also taken a lot of my time this last year is working through trying to figure out how to have a successful arborist within the tree code that we currently have. And so and I also have all the facilities too, right? So Historic City Hall has taken quite a bit of time. And so it's one of those things, there's always going to be something to do. No. But I was hoping like, okay, that does go off. But now I have to strategically plan that is there in a different light. And I've got to get on our projects with our bond money, number one, and capital projects, number two. So I was able to have that kind of grace for this year, but I have to move forward on that. You know, so yeah. So it's kind of one trading to the other, you know, yeah.
So if I may, I just want to change this. So the demand for ongoing operations, maintenance, and project management is high for a single director and limited staff. All of those
are regular. You know?
Then PREP recognizes the additional demand of creating structure to parks and recreation processes and addressing past problems, making the staff structure unsustainable. Adding facilities to the workload creates an unrealistic set of expectations. Well, is that more specific?
I agree. I think that's, and that kind of gets on, you know, a theme I'll get to when we talk about goal setting, but in just the sheer amount of parks that we have, not to downplay the programs, but just maintaining the parks, the equipment, the roads, all the stuff that has to be done versus the size of the staff and the Parks and Rec, it's got to be, if someone did a quantitative study, I'm sure we would be at the bottom of, and in one of the wealthiest.
Well, ask her, she comes from right next week.
Yeah. No. Well, and those are the things that would, because I'm going to be working on budget and telling kind of my strategic planning for over the next 5 years on a high level. And that's what I will show you.
Yeah.
Park size, we could have a similar amount of people to LO, but you have to look at comparatively. They have a golf course, they have people for that. They have a high end athletic field program. We don't. So when you start to look at the numbers per acres, it's relatively similar, but they have a lot more budget to be able to do the extra things that we don't.
Right.
They have a contract for all their neighborhood parks to do the landscaping there, so the full-time staff can focus on the detail of the high-end use parks.
Wow.
So, you know, so right, but that was more cost-effective in some ways. And so there's some of those things that I'm having to look at. We were returning over our trucks every couple years. We don't have that kind of money to do so. So how do we hold on to our vehicles longer so that we're using our money wisely as opposed to just rotating, keeping in everything new, because we don't have the luxury to do that, right?
Yeah.
That's what was happening here. It was different over there. So it's really, so I do want to show you some of that. That's why it's really important for me to show you what programming we're offering for internal staff and then to share out, this is who we're serving, this is how many people we're serving. This revenue is also important too, and what is that covering? And if we can do a few more classes and increase our revenue, how do I get a half-time to a full-time in rec?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's the kind of thing I'm working on in my head right now.
And I'd like to see that, you know, our communications reflect support for what she's starting on.
I agree.
So that will be what I'm coming to you in the next few months with, that information.
And the other thing we haven't mentioned much is the time you spent with the volunteer staff in various parts.
Oh, and that's primarily Tara.
Yeah.
Think about
the bottom line is that, you know, that just doesn't happen out of the blue.
It doesn't.
I mean, there's a significant amount of time that's spent by you guys to help with, you know, stuff that's done in the park.
Yeah.
I mean, we know who to call if we need something at Mary S. Junk for those people that work there.
Mm-hmm.
But there, as you know quite well, there are people in almost every park to do some things.
So okay? Lucky.
And you have to manage those. And I know at LO.
Cats, too. Well.
I know at LO, they had a staff that managed volunteers.
Well, that was under me.
Yeah,
so the next thing I'm looking for is to be able to get a cohesive plan for our natural resources for you know, for restoration work. Because we have all these people working, but we haven't cohesively brought them together. And to me, I have to look for grant money because I don't have the nest egg that I had over there. So that's my.
All right.
Head keeps spinning.
I have to say, I don't mean to be at all critical, but one of the things I really like what you're doing is, in the past, it felt like maximum parks and trails is the goal. Sometimes I felt that way. And it wasn't about what's being offered, what are we doing, how are we maintaining it, does it make sense? It's just maximum parks and trails. And you have really brought in a much more strategic and systemic,
holistic
approach to say, wait a minute, what is it that Parks and Rec does? How does it get funded? Is it legal? Thank you for asking that. It is a totally different approach to managing Parks and Rec. And that has no shade on anybody. It's just recognizing, you know, years and years of max parks and trails. Am I way out of line with saying this?
Well, you have to remember that. I mean, I moved here in 1985, okay? And there were 7,000 people in the city of West Wayne. A few more people than that now. And if you look at both Kens that were in charge for a long time, that was their goal. I mean, one of their things they always talked about is they wanted to have some kind of park with half mile every house. Okay.
And that was also an industry at the time, kind of an industry goal.
Yeah.
Right. So now they did all the land grab and build. And now I got to figure, my job now is to figure out how to maintain and keep it updated.
So there was a lot of let's make parks.
Well, I'm lucky
let's make
that
parks,
I got
let's
it,
make
right?
parks,
I
which is fine, but you're right. the part of it that fell behind was how do we take care of it?
Manage it.
And so that's where some of the volunteer groups came in, which is fine. But once again, those volunteer groups, you know, were not managed in essence. Okay. I mean, I was happy to be in a volunteer group where we could do what we wanted. But the bottom line is, yes, we do. No, I mean, the bottom line is it would be fine to have the parks department as a whole and the city as a whole say, we love our volunteers. Here's what we would like you to do and how we want to control these things. So we don't have somebody with a chainsaw dropping a tree on somebody walking. Okay. I've almost seen that happen in a number of years in a certain park. I mean, the bottom line is that that control needs to exist.
Yeah.
You can't make it overnight.
It turns to empowerment with volunteers. So you have to feel validated. Your time is valuable and you're going to put your time in there and be able to help teach methods that's going to show success versus just repeating the same thing over and over again. And a lot of it also comes to building trust with me, with my knowledge and people that I bring in to show that we can do this. And that's kind of my long-term, you'll see with some of the updates and things that we're looking towards for the future. That's part of my piece. So I will say this year, I asked to take care. I was like, I don't feel like I've accomplished anything this year. But all of these things are kind of slow moving, but we're keeping the eye on the target and really educating the staff to get that buy-in as to why it's important, because ultimately,
you've accomplished. Just take a breath on that one, okay?
I just want you guys to see where we're trying to get to. And to me, the staff is part of that, right? Because I could just give all the information out and have a view and a vision, but it's got to be collective with them.
Certainly.
The ones implementing it and living it. So.
So are there any other challenges that you'd like to identify?
When, on number six, you say we want to get as much information as possible prior to the meeting. The question was from whom? Right. Is it from the staff or from council or from each other?
Right. We want to get related information to the agenda items in advance. I think that was your comment, and I, to be honest, I did this really fast.
Okay. Because
it's much easier if we get the information a week before we have a meeting than the day of the meeting.
You know? I would say read ahead, providing read aheads to the board before meetings, maybe.
Maybe especially if it was a decision, right? If I'm just updating and giving, that maybe that might maybe not necessary, but if there's a decision that needs to be made or I'm needing you get that in advance.
And you've done that at times. Yeah, you say, here's some stuff we're going to talk about and I want your thoughts on it. Okay. That does help.
Yeah.
I mean, we're pretty good about reading it.
Yes.
Well, I mean, anything from report, spreadsheets, anything, I totally agree. Absolutely.
And we got a fair amount of that with the Parks Board stuff.
Yeah, when there was decisions or needed input.
And you needed to have that. I mean, but that's where we spent the whole year. Most of it.
Up on number one, just point of clarification. It says, was not supported by votes. Was it votes or polling?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
By polling the voters.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
You're
right.
And that was supposed to be voters.
And I didn't know if that was by council votes or
no.
Oh, no, thank you. Yeah. It was actually a typo.
Yeah, because as we all know, the definition is that you poll it and you've got to have much more than 50% for one to put it on the and ask for the money because it's not going to fly.
Sorry, that quality control is low on that. I've been crunching.
Hey, this is a great job. Yeah. This is great. We'd be lost without you, Vic.
Oh, no, you wouldn't.
I'm actually sharing your template with all the other liaison with DAGs because it's a really, they don't necessarily have that. So I'm sharing it with them.
Oh, sure. Whatever.
Thank you. Well, if we've got a good model, why not reinvent? You don't need to reinvent it. Share it.
Leverage best practices. I'm all about that. Okay, so. Let's look forward. I know that we always finalize our goals in January. I don't know. Do we have any new people joining us in January?
No, I think everybody, I don't think so. I think it's reapplied. I haven't heard when that official.
Okay.
Have you guys been notified that you're?
I'm a pumpkin at the end of the month. So.
And so is Vicky, okay. Right? So and you guys, I haven't heard where that sits, but I...
Did you reapply?
I did.
They're supposed to let you know.
I
can never remember where it comes from.
It comes from Kathy Molesky, our city recorder. So she sends it, but then she sends the reminder to us to like remind people. And so
you did.
Some people came in on terms that were partials and stuff. Right. Because you said you've already stood for reappointment. This is my first time.
I think Karen, didn't you come in midstream too onto the board?
I think so. I think I was just kind of in the middle. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I'm so excited at the thought that we have the same group going into the next year.
It's great.
Okay. So, what do we want to see? The two goals that are here. That was what we came up with for this year. Clearly our community rec center kind of took precedence over everything. So I just went ahead and put them in here just to say, hey, we said this was going to be our goal, kind of got sidelined. The question is, what issues do you think the council should be thinking about as they go into their annual priority setting retreat? Do you have recommendations about how the issues could be resolved? Council will take this advice into consideration as they prepare for goal setting. So this is really trying to gain alignment with city council and advise them on, where they need to put their energy.
So is it too cheeky to add a goal to resolve the Oppenlander Field situation? and what I would, the specificity that I would say there is, I know there was a referendum for a bond, but
it passed,
but I don't know if that will still be valid if the sale doesn't go through for another couple of years or whatever, but where I'm getting at, it's the same theme is, the bond is for a fixed amount, but if they spend all that to buy the property and then he doesn't get the money to maintain it, we're in trouble. I mean,
but the bond was assuming that we got the land for $120,000.
The whole thing is
crazy. Okay. And the bottom line is that the $3 million was just to fix the park and maintain it.
Right.
So
that's how I saw that bond. I don't have that with me, but exactly that's how it existed. So if you're going to spend $6 million or $7 or $8 million buying the property, then that's offline.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my thought on it is so that it doesn't come off too cheeky, is that in the Oppenlander resolution, to recognize that there has to be improvements to the, if it's going to become a city park, there's got to be improvements right off the bat. And then sufficient money has to be set aside to be able to maintain it because it's a large park.
Yeah, and most of that money was a good one. Basically, when they calculated it out, it was to fix, to make a bathroom, fix the fields, do all that kind of stuff, and
but that
create
was
a park out.
A much smaller.
But that, basically the cost of the property was almost nothing. That was the issue, of course. But I mean, the bottom line is that so the $3 million was just to do the basic stuff. And you're right, that's a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So what it's going to cost to do that now, as we know, having looked at stuff for the community center, is it's going to be more expensive.
And even if that bond is still, does it expire if it's not used by a certain amount of time?
I don't think it's actually been withdrawn. I think it's been voted on, but it hasn't been taken out, my understanding.
But we're not paying for it yet.
We haven't taken it out, to my understanding. Yeah,
I think you're right.
But yeah, the longer it gets put off, the more expensive it's going to be anyway. Is city of it just declare eminent domain?
Well, I get back to the same sort of thing. We don't have enough people to take care of the parks that we have now.
Yeah.
I think that we all agree that's the case.
Okay? Yeah.
That getting another big piece of land, okay, for a park is, that doesn't happen without a significant amount of money into the department to make that possible.
Well, and a big thing that I'm working on, I have a list. I'll tell you kind of like what we're looking for, looking to. I didn't want to call them goals. It's the areas that we're trying to work on to improve our processes. But a thing that I'm really concerned about is deferred maintenance money. And then also if we end up with any invasive insects to our canopy, whether it's Mediterranean oak borer or EAB, how we're going to handle that.
When we have, there's a lot of stuff, doesn't
$20,000 for hazard trees in our budget, and not just a few trees. So that's something that I'm trying to get together. It'll take a bit of time because, you know, when you get quotes for things, it's not like replacing the synthetic turf that we have. Any trail maintenance that has to be, we had all these Boy Scout trails that have been built, and we've got to change, we got to update all of those to make them safe. So things like
or
that.
Closing.
Or and we have, we've closed, I think, three now temporarily, but we've closed them. But that's the kind of thing I'm trying to think of for council goal setting, what I'll be looking for some direction on. So I don't know if that helps with anything.
I want to make sure I get the wording on this. If it sounds okay on Oppenlander, resolve Oppenlander situation. If the resolution is to pursue acquisition, the budget must reflect the cost of upgrading the property for use and ongoing maintenance.
I think that's good.
Does that capture it?
Good one.
Karen, you're over there too, just so we don't forget you.
I can't see the presentation anymore, but that's fine.
Oh, there's no presentation. It's just us talking.
It's just
okay. Okay.
Nothing to see.
Just that.
Do we need to also advise the city council to support the adjustment of services available? Activities, whatever, as it gets adjusted to what we can actually deliver. I don't know how we do that, but you know, it's like if we limit anything in West Lynn, it's like, give me this back, fight for the tree. You know, I'm right there with them, but at the end of the day, we really can only manage what we can manage.
Yes. And I think what we're doing is like we're not trying to necessarily eliminate things. We're trying to do things smarter. But for example, there was a question about adding additional cultural or religious events the city potentially would put on. That was just the idea, right? The idea of that. And at the end of the day, we are, for what we have, we're maxed out on what we actually can do. And so providing opportunities for community members to host those themselves within parks or city properties, but we really can't give anymore, you know, as far as our time goes. And so that's kind of, so we're structuring our programming. What is not selling? What's irrelevant? What do we drop and add? So we're not trying to necessarily add a whole bunch, but refine what we're doing to be what the community is needing. So I feel like, yeah, and so if something new comes on, we evaluate if we can, and if we're told to do it, we will, but definitely trying to put the part that we're at capacity, we're honestly below capacity, especially with our programming.
Can we say support the restructuring of parks and recreation program and asset utilization?
It could be refining, or I don't know if it's re, I don't know.
Support the restructuring of parks and rec programming and asset utilization.
You don't want to restructure.
Yeah, maybe refining.
Refining instead of restructuring.
Yeah.
Refining.
Whatever you guys
want. Yeah. I mean, really, because.
It's your group.
Yeah, but I think that's what we're, it is great support to have, you know.
I mean, because seriously, you make one change and people are passionate.
Well, and that's what we also ask. We're now asking, like with events, why are we doing it and who is it serving? Mm-hmm. So then if there is any teeter in that, if we have to change it or tweak it, that's. We have that mission, and it's not just because we've always done it, right? So
I love all of our events. I think it's the best thing we do.
Well, for example, we're not doing the sweater run before because the sweater run used to be during the day when the parade was during the day. We evaluated what happened with the sweater run, and you look at the five staff members we have trying to run that event, the safety on it, we had no problem. But that was scary to have a night run and then to have a night parade. And so we had less than 100 people sign up. So we like, that is not the best use of our time for safety. So we stopped the runs for this.
Night runs are really dangerous.
Right?
Yeah.
And then,
as a runner, let me
tell you. It was a night parade, right? So our staff now can focus on the one event that is intended for it. And we can do it and run another day or another time, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the darkest, yeah. Sun goes down at 4 o'clock, probably not a good idea to have a run.
So that's just an example.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are there any other things that we would like to direct
to the council.
One other thought. Mm-hmm. Megan, you're going forward with your strategic plan and so forth. Now, since I've been here, we've been working on this go bond. So at what point do we need a new bond for these capital improvements, but also the restoration, or even the enhanced maintenance, even things like that, a bond that would allow, not only getting the things, but also hiring the people or contracting the businesses to do that. Is it too early to add that here?
Well, let me tell you what I'm doing. So the next few months before we get fully into budget, I am trying to evaluate, or not trying, I will be evaluating what money is left in the bond with the projects that are slated. And then depending on what the funding is there, to figure out if those are still the best moves forward with the leveraging our dollars and I'll be talking with you about that to say, here's what we have, here's what's on the docket. And my recommendation is we move forward on these because they'll give the most community benefit with our dollars. Then looking at our capital projects that were put out, the dollars weren't really assigned in a way. And so I've got to look at what projects were listed and where did those come from? And the dollars that are set aside, are they truly in our budget still? Mm-hmm. And what does that look like for this fiscal year, biennium that we're in, that's going to be ending in June? So then what do I need to move forward with? And that also includes our SDC funds and our Metro local shared dollars that are there too. So I'm kind of wanting to get a big kind of visual to share with everybody of where we're at, because I also think, what happens if we can't finish all the bond projects? Like the big one is like the Willamette project, right? Mm-hmm. But I want to be able to explain why and how, what did I inherit, and then where those dollars were assigned in 2018,
yeah,
and we're now in 20. So where that goes, so I can get those completed in the next 2 years.
Okay.
So that's what I'm trying to get that visual. That's my goal for this next month and the month January, to be able to put all those pieces together and then really show kind of a robust plan and looking at it. And, you make a plan and it could shift every other year based on what comes up. But like right now, I got to put a lot of money into Marius Young right now, mm-hmm, coming up that was not planned for. So. Trees, as well as one of the bridges, it's about $45,000 to replace that main boardwalk that goes down. When you main trail and goes the steep down, really cool boardwalk, but it's about, first quote is $45,000.
You want to replace the whole thing?
We have to. The footings may be okay, but the quote has maybe maintaining the footings and then replacing the whole decking because it's rotting.
Is that where the stairs?
Go ahead.
Is that where the stairs are?
Yeah, the stairs down to the boardwalk. Yeah. So those are things we don't even have. I didn't come into a deferred maintenance plan. So that's part of what I'm working with the park staff on, of like, what is this and when do we think, what's our life expectancy, mm-hmm, on these things? And so right now I'm focusing on safety immediately and then looking at that long term.
So
I don't know, did I answer? I just want to give you an overview.
What I'm kind of concluding is maybe this is a little early to put that in, because this is for the council to be looking at immediately. Mm-hmm. This is probably something that we'll want to push.
Well, I would really like to surface something, and that is the go bond. We had a bond for parks maintenance that expired, and that bond was intended to continue that continued maintenance. So there was no real difference in what we paid in taxes.
Yeah.
Along the way, the decision was made to, well, let's have some of that be for parks, but then let's have some of it be general. And it got pulled apart very rapidly. And as a parks board member, I really want us to remember that whole bond was supposed to be a continuation of parks maintenance, and it was taken away. And so, not only did we lose an assistant director, but all of that bond money that was funding parks maintenance was and regular capital improvements, et cetera, was redirected. And so
the bond can only be used for capital, not maintenance. A levy would have to. I just want to make sure.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry. It was
ongoing.
The ongoing. Yeah.
Deferred maintenance.
Yeah.
Like building things over $10,000.
Exactly. Yeah. It wasn't just, you know, pay salary or
mm-hmm.
it yeah. was, mm-hmm. you know, we have projects to
right.
just keep stuff like not hurting people. And so not only did we lose an assistant director, but we lost that funding that we got from that bond. And what little funding was left in the GO bond was not managed to, I mean, you have a basket of snakes to deal with in the parks portion of that GO bond. And the reason why I say this is, I don't think our current council really understands that that GO bond was a continuation of a parks project bond. And the biggest reason it passed is there's no additional impact to the, you know, your taxes. But we've really suffered, I think, not having that. And poor initial planning on how that GO bond is supposed to be used without a lot of progress on the parks portion. And so, you know, that we have quite a few deficits here that start adding up. And it's not just let's take care of the GO bond. It's let's take a look at the history here and the fact that we've had a couple of huge takeaways. And I don't think our current city council is really aware of that. I don't know. I just.
So maybe you need to speak to the city council and give them all updates.
Well, I mean, John, you were part of the parks board when that bond started. And, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, we talked about as parks board. We want to continue. We want to, what did I say?
It's sunset. So you were
yeah,
then.
Sunset.
Right?
Exactly.
Sunset,
thank
right?
you. Thank you. And then you're supposed to like, we're going to continue on. And then we had a interesting council at the time and it just went a very squirrely way and we didn't have sufficient planning to justify it from our parks leadership. And it's, I really see the impact that it's had not having that. So, you know, we go back to, I don't think we need to say, well, we need a new bond. We need to continue the bond that we should have continued before when it was sunsetted. So anyway, I'm sorry. I hate people who are like, well, I remember in the day. But I do think that
relevant.
Yeah. This is a relevant point.
Yeah.
Well, that was also at about the time they started putting the thing on your bill for parks.
Yeah,
remember there was nothing that existed.
The fee
came up at that time, which has grown a little bit over time too.
And that may be too. That's why we need to show this whole funding source that we have. And those again, like SDC funds come and go. We're almost built out, so that's not going to be a.
You're not going to get many of those.
You'll get a sum, but like even the metro local share and being able to go for potential grants and things. Those are that's kind of what I'm looking to. But once I need to see all of the things that we not all of the things, but the majority of things that we need to do that are not just capital building, as well as because capital is. I mean, that's what GO Bond did. So what I came in to see. Our parks team did all these amazing build outs. I mean, they did almost all the work themselves, but that meant maintenance was not occurring because they were building everything. Like our staff built most of the stuff that you saw in the GO bond, right? And so trying to get back to square one and realizing it was all GO bond for so long without looking at our regular maintenance, you know, whether it's rooftops, whether it's like HVAC, you know, for this building, whatever it may be. And so I'm trying to build that catalog of what that is and triage it with the funding we have. And I think it will paint a picture in one way or another of a funding strategy moving forward, you know, because it does. And that's why I'm honestly afraid of building anything new when we couldn't get a hold of what we're doing now, you know, this 1 year. It was like, if we add another thing, I mean, we can't even take care of what I think we can, but we just needed to streamline it and try. I don't know if that helps.
Okay.
So do we need to add that under the council goal setting, something about capital projects, discussion of, you mentioned that, Megan, reviewing the capital projects with us
Yeah, so I mean, I'm going to be reviewing all of the current projects from Go Bond to Capital, and then making a list of.
Go Bond
completion. So the same.
Yeah.
With all the companies. Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, that just it's all of them to kind of see what.
Mm-hmm.
Now what with what funding okay. we have.
And then you had said that it has to be a levy in terms of additional.
A couple different ways.
Operating and maintenance.
Yeah. Okay. Two things. Yeah. You have the fee that we have, that if that could be increased to potentially help with that, you know, in small portions, it does add to a lot. Or you, if you were like with the Community Rec Center, the bond was to build, yeah. the levy was to staff.
Okay.
So that's kind of where those two pieces, and I'm sure there's things in between, but those are the main ones. Mm-hmm. And we were in the process of reevaluating our SDCs. We were doing it with Public Works, but when it came down to it, a lot of the information I had we weren't able to actually do the revamping because like all of our parks master plan says we want to build, but it doesn't say how many acres or what so I couldn't even use information to revamp our SDC. So that's just staying right now in Public Works. So you'll see we'll be updating theirs, but I couldn't get the information that we needed to be able to update it, which was okay. It's okay. But that's when we do our next parks plan, and it'll give us some more matrix.
You're so good.
Oh, I was beating my head against the wall. And I was meeting with Wilsonville. I met with Tiger to figure out how they were getting this done. I'm like, what am I missing? And I really was trying to figure that out. That was another piece of what I was
I love that you seek out ideas. And, I love that. Do we have any additional feedback to share with City Council? I put our City Council liaison is positive. And the mayor and council have been open and listened to the advisory board.
They have.
Yeah.
I only thought of this.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to remember. So I've been on the board 4 years.
Yeah.
You had at least three, and I'm thinking actually four different council liaisons. Jules and then Mary and now Kevin. And I think someone was
there. We had Scott Irwin for a bit.
Yeah. Lovely. And so there were 4 years. The consistency would really help because you get mm-hmm. that relationship, the trust, and the awareness of ongoing issues. So his feedback to us can be more relevant and our feedback to him will be more helpful to him in his job. So we value the consistency. We hope we can hang on to Kevin because he's the one we have right now. I don't know how we say that, but I think it would be better for both the council and for us. We had consistency.
I put consistency with council liaison is valuable to us.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And, the only other thing I have, and I seem to think that it's in here. I don't see it, but it's one of the things that I've talked to Rory about this. There isn't really a clear process for advisory boards of what is the exact process of here's our advice.
Mm-hmm.
Here's our, PRAB says, do yellow canary. And
we've always done in the past is we would hand it off to the park board and they would take it to city council.
So partially that, parks director would
park director would take it. And once a year we'd have
open right. challenges. Thank you. I thought I
the chairman would go to the city council and just talk about last year.
We'll have a timeline for that.
Yeah.
I mean if it is the chair has to go do a presentation, that's awesome. If that's the process. That's the process. If it is, I mean, I've had it said, oh, well, they'll read the minutes. Not from you. You've mm-hmm. never said that. But there really isn't a clear process for advisory boards to feed into the city council and whatever it is. Here it is, and then you have to give it to them, or we have to go present it, or send an email. Whatever it is, just say it. We'll do it.
My understanding, I don't know if this is official, but an email would be sent from the Parks Board Chair to the City Council in general. And if you wanted to have time to present, you would have include Kathy Molesky, and that would then get put on the agenda based on that. Like if there was really, and I would also, knowing that, I would advocate for that separately and make sure that it's known that it's coming.
Yeah.
Well, I asked Rory. He had no idea.
Yeah. Well, the thing that would be good about that is it's issue centric rather than time centric.
Right.
Quarterly report from the PRAP, who cares?
But right.
The PRAP presentation and their perspective on the community rec center,
mm-hmm.
That I think that would be get their attention more.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And those are things that I can encourage when we're looking at the schedule of council meetings too. So just, but again, that formality of it coming from CRAB directly to that email that goes to all the council and then official request for time. I would like to on the calendar, July is Parks and Recreation Month. And right now they just read this really long proclamation. This year I'd like to have a very much shorter proclamation, a small brief presentation from us to say what we are, who we are, what we do, like 5 minutes at the most. And that would be another great opportunity for CRAB to be there for a quick, you know, thing to show that we're more than just this proclamation that seems like it's 2 pages long.
You know,
I was warming out.
In January, the first thing we do is we create our kind of year at a glance, work with Tara to get the activities at a glance. You're always awesome with that. And then, you know, what are the big things we want to accomplish? Identifying like July.
Mm-hmm.
We know December, we have to do a report. July, getting ready to do a semi-annual thing to the city council. What, you know, whatever it may be, but to just block out here are the months, here are the things that are really important to us, and this is how we want to distribute that, knowing that, you know, there may be something that crops up that we need to deal with, but given the assumptions we know today, this is our plan. And so what I'd like to ask people to do is to really reflect before our January meeting on what are the big things that we want to accomplish that we think are the biggest high impact things we can do, or low hanging apples. So it's like, you know what, if we just could knock this off, it would be a good benefit, add a lot of value. And that goes for staff as well. You know, what are the priorities in 2025? How can we make those happen? And part of that is how can we best support you? You want us to do presentation, you want us to do community, you guys can direct as well. I mean, everybody, I really want you to come to the table with some really good thinking around how can we make the biggest impact if possible in 2025, and then we'll block it out into months. Definitely identify what we can do to prepare. That was Chris's point, that we like that. Let's continue doing that, do more of it, and make the most. You know, this last year with the Community Recreation Center, really important work, but boy, it really precluded other work. So, you know, let's set the standard high. One of the things, and Kevin said, we'll be able to do this without a problem.
Got a note.
Yes. Is that we can meet in the park. And
so we can, but we have to, we actually, it is required by law, not city law, that we have to be able to provide a Zoom option for our meetings. So mm-hmm. I had a brainstorm about that, where we set certain meetings that start here. And we have our baseline meeting that's open to the public. And then it's public, our tour, if we go to walk through a park and meet somewhere. And to me, a walking tour of showing you what we're doing, a walk and talk,
mm-hmm.
the public is more than welcome to come to at that point. We just continue on that potential quorum notice that we would be, and then you double check. But that was my brainstorm. We're required by law to have this formality. And so then we can have it even shorten the agenda, that short meeting, and then a walk and talk.
Yeah. The other thing is, with a hotspot, if we use Zoom, I can run the Zoom from a park, have a cam, can do a webcam, and we could do the whole meeting. And
potentially, yes, it has to go through our programming, and it has to go on YouTube. And so all of it, as long as we can do that, that's part of those pieces. And then we have to be able to have interpretation if needed as well. So there's some legalities with it. Yes.
How do we have that here?
If we get notified, we have to make it available.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. I think there's a way to do it. I just need to double check, but I thought that was very possible to do.
Okay.
You know, it may add a 15-minute to our travel time to get somewhere, but then we can have a brief update, do some of the formalities, and get out and do a walk and talk, and the public is welcome to come.
Cool. So, and we only have to have the Zoom if we know there's the public, you know, somebody
know. No, if we're having the actual meeting, but we can also set up a field trip. It would be an additional meeting where you set a potential forum and we can meet and go and talk and look at something separate than a meeting. But mm-hmm. You know, it's still open to the public. But that's what we did when we had like open houses. Mm-hmm. We set a potential forum that if all of you showed up, there wasn't going to be, you know, if there was any conversations, it would be legitimately notified. So, yeah.
And we vote on so much in here.
Sorry. Sometimes nothing at all.
Every month.
So I think, I mean, if we could get out into the park, fabulous. I felt it was like trying to troubleshoot. What if we couldn't for some reason? Right. You could do this little two-part thing. And I was, to me, this walk and talk would be really great to do, right? To go see some areas, look at some things we're working on, and it might bring up some ideas as well. So
it certainly was good when we could do it, when we did it for mm-hmm. a couple years.
A ton.
It was good because you went to parks that you might not have been to.
Right.
Or yeah. You've been maybe once, but you didn't go there because they weren't parks that you use.
Right. Well,
they weren't close to your house or whatever, you know. I
mean. Well, for me, it's important to take you down to Willamette to show you some of the last remaining bond projects, the things that are very problematic we with them, to understand and kind of get that feel of what we're looking at and kind of some of the limitations and how trying to get the maximum out of what that bond money was. So those are things that I think is important. I think Mary is found taking a walk through it and looking at it from MOB and EAB, the trails, like what the volunteers do is a huge one to me to be able, I know it's your part, but then we can also go to these other natural areas that we inherited all these random open spaces that we are in charge of all the trees and the rogue trails in there. So, I mean, I think there's key pieces to take you on tours to do. And we could even set, I've done this before with Parks Board and with Council, we even set a day where we are like, okay, this is going to be a bus tour. We're all going to get in a van, the ACC van, and we're going to go look at four different. So, I mean, those are just a couple of things. Like for me, Willamette, to get everybody down there, even though everybody goes there, to see some of the complexities of the project that were slated.
Well, the other thing that we did that I really loved is if there is a really active volunteer group, have them have an opportunity to show and tell. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget, you know, Friends of Maddox Wood. Do you remember that?
They showed us all the stuff.
Cute. They took us around and we walked everywhere. We'd love to see this.
They had all the boards and stuff over. They showed us. Yeah.
And they're so proud and they got the recognition and we got to see what was going on. They presented their challenges. We talked about alternatives and I thought that was really awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, if you're going to the stuff in the summer up at Crying Creek and somebody says, oh, you're a Parks Board member. And they ask you a question about something like that. If you've never been there, that's a little hard to. I said, yeah, that's one of the parks we have. Never been there.
Yeah.
I think there's a way to do it. It's just having to get the legality of it correct.
So one year I was shot down. I'm not even going to present it, but I had the idea of making a park bingo card and having like a prize for any of the first Parks Board a member who went to all of the parks and, you know, it's like, yeah, nobody wanted to do that.
You know, most people go to parks that have things that they want to do and their family want to do.
Yeah.
Or a park that's near where you live.
Yeah.
And that's the way parks are set up. It's well, nice to go to a park.
And you get to represent the whole city. So showing you some of those areas, mm-hmm. like even just going to McLean House and looking at some of the complexities of having. So, I feel like you could use some walk and talk.
If we should, even though it's the same group, but should we in January or February or March, just our group, or doesn't have to be a meeting, do a field trip day and try to just go to, you know,
Do the bus.
Yeah, we can do that. You can get the bus and we just notice the quorum and we can go do that. And especially if there's areas that you're like, for me, Willamette, especially with the bond project, to kind of get that, you'll get that report from me, but then to go really take a look at that might kind of weigh some of your thoughts or seeing what we're seeing, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. Maybe there's supposed to be a swimming hole and it's filled with logs. I don't know how I'm going to do that. Because it's always told a fog from coming down the river. You're like, is that the safest and best thing we should be doing with our money? You know, would it be great to have? Yes, but I don't have the manpower, you know. You know what I mean? That's the kind of thing. Yeah.
So
farther, 21.
Well, 21, I think it's 21 listed, but there's all the open spaces too that are everywhere that they have trail systems through as well.
And most of those trail systems need to not be there.
And then also,
system is probably the wrong word.
Well, if you look at it, the part that's hard has been cataloged, not by staff, so it's on our trails map, but we also have all the neighborhood connecting trails. Those are all under parks as well.
Yeah, the neighborhood connecting trails is just.
And we're not managed. I'm working on a plan to get through them once a year, work with the neighborhood associations to help do it, but those are all under us too.
I hate to get off on a but, and Karen might know of this too. So I've seen these neighborhood connecting trails, and one we have one it's at the end of Nixon Avenue, the north end, that connects with Calaroga Court. And so I took the map and walked down, and then I walked through people's yard on this connector. But it was, you know, and it's like, I'm not going to do that. No one said anything. I'm not going to do this again. What is the status of those?
So what it's on my to-do list. I actually would like to take the trails map off of the city website just because the reason being is if you have a road trail, Metro, from what I understand, Metro helped create that trail map that they had looked at. And if you look on any of those running apps, it shows all these trails.
Oh, yeah.
But those are not city sanctioned trails. Yeah. And as soon as you have it on there, we are responsible for the safety. So it consider mostly it's tree issues or trip hazards, right?
But there's no official like city easement or anything
that
the public gets right away through your yard.
Well, it depends.
Okay.
For example, I remember this huge because I'm Willamette neighborhood. When we were talking about trying to connect Fields Bridge Park to Willamette Park, and there are properties that are grandfathered ownership to the center of the river.
Right.
And they were not provide easement. They absolutely refused.
Oh, wow.
And so you can't connect unless you're willing to condemn. And that was really, it got really, really, really ugly. And then we got a report from Fish and Wildlife. Fish and Wildlife saying, these are the areas that you cannot have a trail because that's a specific riparian zone and blah, 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 blah. Must not have a trail. And
they can't just look at the river and say, let's just put a trail on.
Oh my gosh. There are a lot of, you know, you think that's a trail.
It's a social trail. So a lot of neighbors.
But it's not.
And so that's where I want to have that defined because we are on the hook for those and people assume, and that's why even us providing resources to some of those trails, if they're not a city sanctioned trail, and if it shows on the map because Metro had an overlay that was able to put it on, that's one of my vetting processes I need to do to take those off because it's not. I look at that one that may not be, it may be on there, but it may not actually be a trail that we've created.
Yeah, I've been meaning to ask that for a while, but that helps clarify it.
Yeah.
And, you know, once we did that, it's like, no, we're not. That's just weird.
I remember
that's not the trail that goes Nixon up to the Cedar Road.
No, Nixon kind of goes to the north end and then it becomes Steamboat as it goes around the corner.
Right.
Right there where it turns away from the river. There's
a lot on
backyard on Calaroga Court is the next one to the north.
Right, the north. So I didn't know there was a trail.
Yeah, it shows on that trail, city trail. Yeah. But
eventually,
again, there has been discussions about making a bike trail that goes all the way from the falls to Portland along the river. Now, the problem is there's a lot of people with waterfront property who aren't interested in having a bike trail.
It's a huge deal, right?
Yeah.
People not wanting trail. Yeah.
Well, it got so bad. That's one of the reasons why waterfront at Willamette, on the Willamette, because it was so much industrial, PGE became the focal point because there was lawsuits threatened and, the people who had private property that is out to the middle of the river had a fence and somebody destroyed the fence. It's the city property. It was just,
there's the law where you can't prevent someone to come to the bank.
That's right.
But that's not the same as walking through the yard.
Well, that's like the Palisade. What's the trail that's up on the
Palomino.
When I first got on the board many, many years ago, they were thinking about dealing with that. And the bottom line is that that is a trail that's terrible, as you know, if you've been in that area.
It's closed right now.
Yeah, it needs to be closed. Yeah. It was need to be closed when I was there 20 years ago. We looked at running on it, and we walked it and said, we're not going to run on this.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, their yards went into the trail. I mean, they built stuff. They had, and there were like driveways. There were garages. And at one time, when I first went to the Parks Board, they were talking about telling these people, you have to take your driveway out. You have to take your garage out. And I said, listen, I'm a runner. I run on trails, and I've been on these trails. I don't even want to walk on these trails. Mm-hmm. If somebody's got a garage that I don't care, I shouldn't be on a trail. That was 20 years ago.
Yeah. Encroachment's a whole other thing that we don't have to deal with right now. But yeah.
Let's go ahead and look at our good job on our report. You had good brainstorm last time, good finalizing this time. We're set up for next meeting. And so we have our department and project update and events and rec update.
So the one thing that when you turn your report in that you may not want to include the current schedule because we haven't fully updated that yet.
This is last year.
Thank you. I'm already working on next year's stuff.
Thank you.
Work on next year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What were the dates
totally
that we
got
met? In this,
yep.
And it's so nice to be able to
rec center.
I know, I was doing the same thing. So look, I'm ahead. I thought I was behind.
It does say in 2024. So.
No, but that is right. No, yeah. I was already projecting for next year.
Yeah,
so I've got a whole bunch of notes for January.
You're already ahead on the homework. Okay.
So for parks update, do you want me to go on that?
Yeah.
I really would rather have slides, and so, but here we go. A couple of things from the park specifically, about 90% of the leaves that need to be picked up, only safety reasons and landscape management have been picked up. At Sunset Park, there was when that playground was installed and that sand feature was there, they put a retaining wall to keep the sand from continuing to roll over onto the pathway. Mm-hmm. And area strung staff added drainage next to the restroom. We are having our first official or meeting to review the park's maintenance plan. Staff has been given into groups to review that plan and then to come up with our best practices as well as our frequencies on those tasks. And so hopefully in January, I'll be able to share that with you all. There's been a lot of brush clearing. Fields Bridge, this is one I really need you to know about, is the project there, part of the impact of them adding the road, widening the road in school is that there's mitigation, which means invasive species removal as well as planting that's required actually in Fields Bridge Park along the pond area and throughout the park in the natural spaces, even though they're kind of blended park spaces and natural spaces. And so that mitigation is going to be happening. We have Pacific Habitat leading the guide. The contractor that we're hiring is Mosaic Ecology. I can't wait for you guys to get to know this group. I have such great confidence in them. But what it will do, I'll be meeting with Mary Baumgartner, Councilor Mary Baumgartner, next week, as well as with John, to kind of show, because there was a lot of resistance in that whole project, but to show that we are truly going through with this mitigation, which will improve the area, including the volunteer who's leading those efforts. So to know what there will be some treatment that'll occur, but understanding what it is, why, how. I wanted that story is going to be key for me to get ahead of because it also leads to what we'll be doing in the future with some of our restoration projects over time.
That sounds like a great field trip.
It's a good learning opportunity too, for everybody, right?
Yeah.
There were also the potential grant I mentioned for a Life Vest share kiosk at Willamette and Fields Bridge. Tualatin River Keepers reached out for a potential to have those there. Having some archaeological things to figure out, because even when you put a post in along the Willamette, you have to think about archaeological digging. So that's something that may or may not happen, but we have a passion for wanting to get something there or even using existing structures to make that happen. Very excited. Our staff demoed electric backpack blowers with Greenworks. They have seen Steele and others just in the field and talking with other agencies. We are going to be purchasing two. The full unit is about $1,500 each to get the batteries and that. And we'll be using those at our high youth parks during the season. So it's kind of, again, getting that buy-in from staff, also not depleting our budget too much.
but thinking at Willamette Park, over at Mary S. Young as well during the season when we need to use it, and still being wise about our gas when we need the power. So it's really exciting that we have buy-in and we're starting to do that.
Wow.
Okay. There will be a community rec center meeting in January for that funding group to look at some next steps. We're trying to get some information together because we've been asked to just to think about it. So that'll be coming up. I presented that Youth Action Council to talk about. They wanted us to come and learn about some environmental opportunities that they can volunteer and talk to them about. They asked about invasive species removal and replanting, and we're going to be partnering with them on Arbor Week and potentially Pollinator Week as well. So really engaging that group with the programming that we're currently doing is so super exciting. I will also, with the Community Rec Center, is that the final documentation summary, as well as the selling packet, the mini packet, is the final review, and I'll be sending that out before our next meeting. So you can see the great work that you all did. It's really exciting. And then I have something I can't tell what I wrote. figure out what that might be later. Don't know what that is. And then I'm just going to continue on for one more second. Looking forward, you're going to get this in a more of a formal email. I was trying to wordsmith it, but looking forward for next year for PARC, we want to finalize our maintenance manual, want to plan for a capital improvement and go bond project, need to finalize the Mary S. Young lease that is still held with the state right now as we're expired a year ago.
Wow.
Want to define, and that's in their house, not ours. And part of that, I will be presenting to you and to, maybe to council, at least sending a summary of what year to date for last year, how much labor we spent there, costs that we spent to maintain it, revenue that we received there, so that when they go to sign another 25-year lease, they have an idea of the impact of what it takes for us to care for it. Because I am a bit concerned about ongoing costs there, just to be honest. Developing an integrative pest management is my goal for this next year as well, to help us with our best management practice of the land, and working on the deferred maintenance and long-range planning for budgeting. I'll have one more, and I just want to do the rec side. Reviewing our current programming offerings to see gaps, which we're in the middle of doing right now. One thing that will definitely be coming to you is developing our policy on commercial use in parks. Giving you some information in January, just so you know, I want to be able to present to you with some options and things to consider, and then we can look at formalizing over the next few months. Kind of developing our volunteer program that Tara has been really holding together, but like even just volunteer waiver form, we don't even have those, and that's something with the city attorney right now. We use SOLVES right now, but it doesn't fully cover us, but it's again a thing that's really getting those practices in place. Also taking the Adult Community Center, as you saw, their budget is tied into just general rec programming. I want to separate that out so we can actually see what money is being leveraged for all the programming that we're doing and potentially offer up grants, look for grants to be able to help support what they are doing. Staff is continuing to evaluate their role and efficiencies and whose strengths are what, and we've switched a lot of things this year based on what their needs were, and that'll be kind of continuing to tweak, and so that's really exciting to see. And then the other one was the parks data collection through city data to be able to show our use in our parks. Those are a couple things that are coming up, as well as EAB and MOB, deferred maintenance, trail repairs, and volunteer show and tell that we'll start to add. We're going to be trying to do a quarterly volunteer meet and greet with all the volunteer leads or whoever wants to come and just kind of talk about issues and let them collaborate with what they're doing together and to really elevate that program. That was a lot of talking. That's why I'll get it to you in paper. It was just a lot. So you look at that and not me.
So you'll email us.
I will. It'll probably be closer to January. As I'm trying to also look for when I go to the part of the council retreat, I want them to kind of see what we're up to, what we've done, and where we're kind of moving the needle to. So that was, I know, a lot of words quickly, but it's kind of the bigger. I'm really trying to get our operations So it becomes very transparent, not only to improve and to build up staff, but to show if Oppenlander comes on, this is what it potentially could take for us to maintain it and care for it. So I've talked too much.
I'll look forward to reading that.
Where are we and where did we land with the forest school? I mean, is everything settled with them?
Yeah. Are you still on the stage?
So funny.
Down to Earth is currently compliant. It took until almost November to get their insurance together.
I'll be asking for their quarterly report to come up that shows the number of students, and there's a few details that we asked as far as, you know, what the participation rate is there and who, if it's outside the city or in city students. And so they're operating great. So it seems to be fine as far as that goes. It took a lot of work to get to that point. So it's just a lot of things that we have to consider when we're looking at it. It's not, again, that's why it's commercially and it's totally not just focused on them, that we have to look at how we're doing things.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to be able to make sure that conversation isn't fully focused on that with them, but that is a piece of it, right? Mm-hmm. Of all the way around. But that was a lot.
That's a lot.
It was a lot to get to. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. But there, that's, I'm glad it worked out for this year so they can continue to be down there and operate. Yeah. That
they seem to have a few less kids.
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
I mean, I oftentimes run in the morning before I do stuff mm-hmm. and look at things I need to fix on trails.
Yeah.
And so I run by as I'm doing loops, and it seems they don't have as many kids as they used to have.
Do you think that with COVID and kids not being able to go to school, but they could do that outdoor, that they have a bigger, you know, interest in that programming?
Well, I think there were two things. I mean, most of the parents that I've talked to are local parents. They're Westland parents, mm-hmm. and they're looking for someplace for their kids. And the cost for them is significantly less than going someplace.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my grandson is at a Montessori school in Portland. And the comparison is huge in terms of cost.
Huge.
And now the only other forest school that I could find is in Portland. It's $1,200 a month. So essentially it's like daycare costs mm-hmm. versus their $8,500 a year per student. I mean, based on the age.
Yeah.
So it's
great to see the little kids
mm-hmm.
in the forest
yeah.
doing, you know, yeah. it's raining out and it's December and January. They're having a great time. And they're in little groups doing all sorts of stuff, and they're looking at trees and they're looking at stuff. I've talked to them a number of times about trails and how we build them, mm-hmm. those kinds of things. So I mean, I love having them there personally.
I do too.
But I get that we have to have sort of rules and that sort of stuff. So I'm hoping that they'll be able to continue that. Yeah, I mean, the worry, of course, is that, you know, because it happens all the time, is we see trees fall. I've been running when trees fall. Yeah. And we haven't, you know, knock on wood, hit anybody yet, but I've seen some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, it's a very delicate thing when you're renting a facility and paying for it. That's why the agreement was very, they rent the shelter area and the use of those bathrooms. The other areas as used, and it can't impede the public's activity because we couldn't manage that.
But that's currently all established and,
mm-hmm.
and okay, good.
It is, yep.
Yeah. And they're really good with the kids about that sort of stuff. I mean, if there's a group of, you know, 15 of them walking someplace mm-hmm. and me and a couple of my buddies are running or my kids are running for cross country or track, they're here comes some runners moving. Yeah, I mean they're very cognizant mm-hmm. of that.
So yeah.
Really aware of
that. And that's why I don't want it to be about down to earth, because that's one school and looking at all of our use in our parks because it sets a precedent. So it's not, that's why it's not about down to earth.
Right.
It's about
if we're going to use that.
How should our parks be being used?
Right.
And how should that compensation be too? So that's why I'm hoping it'll be kept at a much higher level because they're a unique situation with the park specifically. So, yeah.
Okay. You want to talk activities?
And that stuff. So we just had our tree lighting on Friday. Did anybody make it? Jupiter King was so great turnout. Weather was perfect. We probably had about 500-600 people in attendance, I believe. We worked with a new photographer this year, which was fantastic.
Oh, good.
So we had Stan and Mrs. Claus over there and all the photos were there. A really cool thing this year, too, Alyssa put together a ticketing, like an online, you scan it and you kind of get lined and they text you when you're
ready. Oh, nice.
So we would have people lined up
and for hours.
So it was great. So it was great feedback. I was like, so that was wonderful. People could wander around, get their hot cocoa. Do crafts in here and, you know, meet with some characters and come when they're, they got the text message. So it was
great.
Big thing this weekend, Saturday, is our holiday parade.
That's right.
Evening.
Not a flock,
but not. Right. Huh? So it is at 5.
Okay. Yeah, 5 o'clock. Yep, rabbit.
About 27 registered right now. I got a couple last minute ones, but that's a lot for us.
We actually closed it off. It's a lot. Oh, wow. Yeah. So it'll be great.
Yeah, so it'll be wonderful. And we did not do the run this year yet, just due to the being in the dark and not.
Thank you.
I want to focus on the parade safety this year.
Mm-hmm.
What else is happening? Our ACC coordinators had a great holiday lunch yesterday. Rosemont Choir came over and sang for the patrons there. That was great. We had some final work parties this last December, last weekend. Mary Young sent it over like
a lot of stuff, yeah.
So that was great. And Palomino Loop Trail.
Kind of wonderful.
And some of their stuff they've been working on too, restoration projects. Oh, Polar Plunge.
Mm-hmm.
And
Polar Plunge.
Oh, and our new brochure came out. You guys should have
gotten
it in the mail.
Looks great.
And it's Monday, 8 a.m. Yeah, so that will go winter, spring. Yeah.
Okay.
And Dole Community Center has their new brochure out as well.
Yeah, November.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you got us. I wasn't here. I was Taylor Swift in it, so I wasn't here.
I know. January, February. One.
They so did a really lovely job.
We were really excited. Yeah.
And Minnie Hoopers is ready to roll too, right?
Minnie Hoopers is almost done.
And then getting ready for spring.
Well, the spring Hoopers, which all the coaches are already all on that.
Yeah.
And then one thing, I think we talked about this too, maybe incorporating or bringing in some more of our staff.
Yes.
So we'll maybe try to add that in our plan for meeting discussion. You know, maybe bring in some staff that can, you know, maybe even highlight a park or something like that.
Yeah.
Or maybe do some more slideshows or they could speak. We got a lot of staff.
We had Mike Perkins coming for a few meetings. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what year that was, but. I love Mike. He just says, yes, we can do that.
Uh-huh.
Got a way to do that.
Mike is really helping us out because he's no longer the city arborist, but when Ron retired, we were trying to streamline our processes, and so he's helping do that. So he technically is filling in the role of city arborist as well as doing his other portion of his job. He's been really helpful to kind of go through some of our pitfalls of things with our code that we're trying to streamline out.
Is he currently operations then?
He has been for 5 years, I think. Yeah. So he has been over with Park. Yeah.
Is there an official arborist or no?
We have a contracted arborist, Prager and Associates. But Mike is helping our code is it was not setting our contracted arborist up for success with the way things are currently lined out. And so we're using him more right now for resources as far as with Mediterranean Oak Borer, with updating a website, helping us with our process with our forms. And then also reviewing right now, currently, he gave updates to maybe questions of the tree code that are gray that can we do within the code, can we make this a best practice or does this have to be a code change? And then I've met with others and I've got my own for compiling that for the city attorney to look at to see what we can do as a small transition to improve our situation. And then look at what code may have to be adjusted over time.
Okay.
It's really hard for staff and it's really hard for citizens too. It's hard to be consistent and clear. Mm-hmm. And so having a contracted arborist who has a their business license, it makes it not a successful thing for them either. So we're hobbling along and that's part of where my additional help is not fulfilled yet because I got to figure out how we can do this right, whether it's a full-time arborist or whether it's we can do it through contracted means. For a longer term. So I've delayed refilling my position so we can get it sorted out. And it's been important to do so. I don't want to get just what I need, it's what we all need, you know? So.
And something that you can explain to citizens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so were there any items of interest from board members that we did not have a chance to talk about? Okay. Then a summary, I did an agenda for January and our finalized plan. I emailed it to John and Tara and Megan, and you guys can distribute it out to our board. So that's done. Check. And then it says at the top of the agenda, please come prepared with your priority ideas and to review our 2024 plan so we can confirm we want to keep this, we want to keep this, we want to change that. Yep. So we can turn it into the 2025 plan. Okay. And that's January 9th. And with that, I think we can close the meeting and say happy holidays.
Yep.
And cheers to an awesome board.
Yeah.
Great Thank group. You. Cheers.
Thank you all, all right. for all that you do.
And hopefully Willamette is clearing out. Traffic was so bad, it routed me through Wilsonville up over Pease Mountain.
Can we formally close the meeting?
Yes, I closed the meeting.
That's an interesting drive, isn't it?
Well, and then, so I still had to cut through Willamette.
Yeah, well, you come down off the